Okay, let's go ahead and we'll pray, and then we'll jump into the lesson on tonight. Amen. Everyone, make sure that your phone's on mute. Okay, let's get started. Father Yah, we bless you and we acknowledge you as the Most High Yah. We glorify you for all things, and we just look forward to you sending our Savior to gather us as a nation. We just thank you for all that you do. Give us understanding on tonight. And understanding that we have, we will put that understanding into action. And we just glorify you in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be discussing on tonight some things that I have dealt with. I think I initially put it up last night, and then it's been dealing with it on and off throughout the day. And I wanted to discuss this on tonight because there are certain things that that we have to understand in reference to it. You know, there are a lot of things that we have dealt with, you know, as far as this topic is concerned. And, you know, it's just a lot of things that we've dealt with. And so I want to keep you focused on what we are to do in this last day. We have to operate in wisdom. And so there are some things that I want to just kind of lay out. Want to cover some scriptures, and then just to kind of remind you of some things, because I don't want us to get off focus. You know, there are a lot of things that's being said, a lot of things are being done, and events and things like that are being put together. But we have to understand, ourselves before we can understand these other nations. And what I mean by nations, I don't look at skin color like your, I guess, average person, or we don't look at skin color like your average person. We understand that this thing is way bigger than that. And so, you know, the title of this is based upon what I had written, and this is the title of this is Skin Color Only Scratches the Surface. Skin color only scratches the surface. And so I'll just kind of explain some things from what happened to me. You know, I've told this to you before, and I just want to remind you of it again because this is a part of the lesson on it's a part of the lesson on the night, so I just want to kind of remind you of it. So I'll just read it, you know, and then we'll get started from there. Okay. Now, in 2011, this happened to me in 2011, and what makes it what makes what I'm about to explain to you. I'm trying to find the word to express it. I'll say it this way. People are so religious, and they are so traditional from the perspective of religion that they can't perceive that Yah, can deal with individuals in these days like he dealt with back in the Bible days. And so in writing these things that I do, I make attempts to give an association to the things that I try to give an association with the scripture in reference to the things that I experienced to let people know that this is real. This is real stuff. This is not something that I'm making up, and I'm saying these things are happening to me, and you can't go in the scripture and see these events happening. God does not do it with everyone, just like he didn't do it with everyone as far as what we classify as the Bible days or the scriptures are concerned. But yet you can go and read these things and you can see clearly that God dealt with men face to face. Well, I've been blessed to deal with God face to face in an intimate, personal, personal method through communication, whereby I can't speak for everybody else, but I just know what happens with me. But at the same time, because a lot of people don't have these experiences, they have a hard time believing that anyone can have these experiences, although they will tell you that they believe that the Bible is true. Okay? So they believe that the Bible is true. So, in 2011, this actually happened to me, and, those of you who were there and experienced it when I first came out and started to teach it, you are my witnesses that what I'm telling you or what I'm telling everyone is the truth. That I came out, we were still having services on Sunday, and I came out at the time and began to teach on who we were as a people and taught it for 3 years straight. So, again, in 2011, I was awakened. It was around between 3 and 4 a.m. By the Most High Yah, and he said unto me, quote, he said this to me one time, and I never forgot it. He said it to me once, only once, and I remember words like as if he said them to me, on this morning. But he said to me, quote, this is what he said, word for word, soon a people will weep because they will be enlightened about whom they are, that the reason why they are hated. We have to understand, based upon what Yah instructed me on, and also it's confirmed in scripture, and we will look at some of those scriptures tonight, that we are, as a people, hated. That is no doubt whatsoever. We are, as a people, hated. Yah identified it to me that particular morning, and he identified it in the scripture. But we, there are things that happen where we understand why we're hated. There are reasons why. There are things that have to take place. And what amazes me is you have so many people with all of these different theories on why we're going through what we're going through. And that's one of the things that's still upsetting to me, because we are so stiff-necked as a people, the same stiff-necked people as our ancestors, that we still refuse to acknowledge the problem. We want to come up with all these solutions on by which we are to solve our problems, but there is only one way, because our problem started as a result of that way. And the only way we can fix it is to go back through that way. That's the only way we can fix it. So you get people talking about marching. You get people talking about protesting. You get people talking about rioting, having riots. And you get people that talk about we just need to come together, all the black folks and the white folks and all the red, they say red, yellow, and, whatever. Red, yellow, and white. They start calling it brown. And all of us just need to come together and get along. Well, doggone it, the Bible says, and until we understand what the Bible says, everything we say is irrelevant. Yah said in his word that the ways of a man are righteous in his own eyes, But Yahweh is the heart. Yahweh is the mental disposition. And so all of us, for one reason or another, and I mean all of us as far as I like to include all of us from a perspective of balance and keeping myself focused. So when I throw me in the pot, that lets me know that I have to stay focused. And I can't get caught up into what this world system or what society is doing. Can't get caught up into it because everybody believes that they have it figured out on what it's going to take or what is necessary for us to matter in this system, to matter in this world. They're trying to figure out how to make us matter, and the Bible is telling us there's only one way we will matter. Only one way we will matter. There is no solution but one, and we have to stay focused on that solution. We can't get caught up into these gatherings. So anytime you hear, I'm sharing things with you by the Spirit of Yah. Anytime you hear so-called black folks talking about getting together to show unity and to show all these different things from a perspective of flesh, run as fast as you can away from that type of sitting, because that is the stiff neck of our people that is putting us in position to be led to the slaughter. So when they start saying, let's come together and let's just show unity and we just want to get together, trust me when I'm telling you this. When we come together, so will the enemy. And the enemy can make us look like we acting a fool even though we're smiling at one another. You have to understand the days that we're living in, and when we think that we can get ourselves out of this situation apart from Yah, the very thing that we set up is what Yah himself will bring down. He just using the sources or other people, other nations, other circumstances as a tool to bring about his judgment on us as a people, because we're still trying to have salvation apart from him. We're trying to be healed apart from him. We're trying to live apart from him. Now, I'm not talking about this individual stuff, because Christianity, through a European doctrine perspective, has caused us to think that salvation for us is an individual thing. Yeah, technically, but when you look at salvation for us as a people, it has to be as a people as a whole. He's not coming back with just you little church folks. He's coming back for his people. So you be crazy, stupid, dumb, ignorant, you still coming out of Egypt. The same way we came out of Egypt back during the scripture days. He didn't just take all the same Israel out of there. He brought stupid, ignorant, and crazy just as well as he did the ones who were following him. When he returned, he's gathering all of our people. So we have to understand that what you're hearing these people do, they are operating within the wisdom of their own mental disposition. And Yah will knock down anything that has to do with the wisdom of men. As Martin Luther King, as Malcolm X, as all of our civil rights leaders in one perspective or another, every time we did something apart from the will of Yah, trying to determine or get a right to something apart from Yah, Yah always brought that thing down, including the leaders. Because Yah will not share his glory with no mankind. And if you think, or we think, that we can pull together some agenda apart from Yah to try to get us justification, then we are bound for destruction as a nation of people. So we have to understand the seriousness by which we are in as far as these last days are concerned. And we have to realize that we will never come up with a solution, because the Bible has already laid out the plan, or Yah has already laid out the plan in the Bible. It will not be any other way. There is no other plan that we'll come up with. We can sit down and talk to the president. We can meet with our city officials. We can meet with our government officials. We can meet with white folks, black folks, blue folks, green folks. We can meet all and kiss one another till we can't kiss one another no more. And when we get through kissing, we're going to be fighting the next day because Yah is driving his people in. And all these events are coming about to put us in position where we will look to no other but the Most High. All right? So again, in 2011, I was awakened. And again, like I said, people don't believe that Yah will deal with men in these days like he dealt with men in the Bible days. But I'm here as a witness that it's taking place. And you ain't seen nothing yet. I even have some people that said, that ask me at different times, they'd be like, okay, the things that you write and the things that you say, aren't you afraid? No, I do not have the spirit of fear. I have angels with me at all times. I have no fear whatsoever. I am never alone. I have been in circumstances where it appeared as if I was alone until things started to go down and then people saw who were with me. There are at least two angels that I know that are with me at all times. When people start talking like that, they start saying, oh man, that stuff was crazy. Well, the Bible crazy then. I'm in good company. Okay? Now, as we look at this here, again in 2011, I was awakened around 3 a.m. by the Most High, and he said unto me, sooner people will weep because they will be enlightened about whom they are. That the reasons why they are hated, and as I do say, we are hated. Don't get it twisted. There are other nations of people who will smile in your face on a daily basis, but do not get it twisted. Yah says we are hated. Okay? That the reason why they're hated has nothing to do with the color of their skin, and that's the issue. We think that our skin color is the problem. Then why are they not killing Africans? There are plenty of Africans over here in America. And I'm not talking about African Americans. I'm talking about Africans, descendants of Ham who live in America. You don't see them laying in the street. So it's not an issue of color. Okay. Now, that's the reason why that hatred has nothing to do with the color of their skin. But they are hated. Here's why we are hated. They are hated because of the covenant that I made with their father, Abraham. We have a personal covenant relationship with the Most High that is different from any people on the planet Earth. Different from any people on Earth. That covenant is ours. I gotta lay it out plain. It is not a covenant that was made to all nations. It is a covenant that was made to the children of Israel. And everyone who wants to be a partaker of that covenant must be engrafted, counted amongst the nation of Israel through redemption. Now, it's not the redemption from a perspective of what Christianity teaches from the European perspective. We have to understand redemption through the perspective of the Hebrew. We have to understand redemption through the perspective of the Hebrew. So that covenant is made to us, our father. It was made first by our father Abraham, passed down to Isaac, passed down to Jacob, who became Israel, and Israel down to his descendants, all the way down to us. But we were warned what would happen to us as a people if we broke that covenant. That is the number one problem. So you have Israelites who are the same stiff-necked as their fathers, who want to get benefits without lining up with the covenant of our father, of our father Yah. The covenant that was given to our father Abraham by our father Yah. Okay, now, initially I didn't understand what Yah meant by the statement, so I kept it to myself. Then the next morning, I was awakened, and I kid you not, awakened with a literal tapping on my shoulder. It was no, I felt somebody tapping on my shoulder. It was nothing. I had a vision, you know. It was somebody tapping me on my shoulder that morning. And the minute I opened my eyes, Yah said, get up. Go in your office. When I went in my office, I was in there for 3 days straight. The only time I came out was to give me something to eat. And then, you know, use the restroom, things up, and I would go right back in there. I slept there. All these things were taking place. And when I came out of there, I understood who we were. I understood how to teach it. And I started teaching the church from that point on for the next 3 years. Yah has awakened his prophets, and he's dealing with us in the same manner that he dealt with the prophets of old. The difference between your preachers nowadays and your prophets, Yah dealt with them face to face. It wasn't no I feel in my spirit stuff. I ain't feeling nothing. Now, I have to say it that way in order to get you to see what Yah is doing in these last days. I didn't feel in my spirit that he tapped me. I don't feel in my spirit that he's speaking to me. He speaks. It ain't no feeling, man. It ain't no I think he said. That's the reason why I speak the way that I do, because I know what he says and I know what he do. And before this said and done, he's going to continue to manifest himself more and more in the things that's going on in this earth to let everyone know that he has raised up his true prophet. The Bible called, I believe it was James and John. Two of those disciples. You know what Christ called them? Sons of thunder. You know why he called them sons of thunder? Because they were called fire down from heaven. They didn't want to receive the Messiah. Let's just go there already. Luke. Let me see, Luke chapter
9 and 8. Pastor, is it in Mark 3:16-17?
It may be one of the references. I'm glad you helped with that. It may be one of the, let me see. You said Mark 3? Did you say Mark 3?
Yes, Mark 3, I think 16-17.
Yeah, that's it. That's one of the passages. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's one of them. I'll read that one, and then Luke, it's also, let me see. You said Mark 3:17. I read Mark 3:17, but it's also one in Luke that I had wanted. Mark 3, verse 17, where as his name and the disciples, it says, and John the son of Zebedee, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Barnabas. I might want to make sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. And he surnamed him Boanerges. I believe I'm saying that. Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And but I wanted to read, I mean, that is a passage that I wanted to look at, but I wanted to show you, and I may find it later on, I wanted to show you where they actually was asking Christ if he wanted to do it. And he told them no. So just give me a minute. I'm gonna have to go the long route, y'all. So y'all bear with me just a minute. Yeah, John, Luke chapter 9, verse 54. It wasn't that long. I just didn't want to do it, but I did. Well, I'm sorry, verse 54. Luke 9, verse 54. I'll start there. Luke 9, verse 52. Luke 9, 52 said, and, verse 51. Luke 9, verse 51 said, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is our Savior when he was getting ready to be sent up. And I don't want to deal with a lot of stuff as far as that's concerned. Verse 52 said, and sent messengers before his face, and they went into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. The Samaritans did not receive him because his faith. And they did not receive him because his faith was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, John, James, and John saw this, they said, Jehovah, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did. Elijah called down fire from heaven. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 1. This is nothing new. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 12 is when Elijah, the prophet, called fire down from heaven. And you have two now disciples of Christ who were saying, do you want us to do the same thing? In other words, whatever our forefathers did, when we were lining up with that same authority, when we lined up with the Most High, we had the same ability. So you can go back and look at things that our people did as a nation. There were two men, Jonathan and his servant, who took out thousands of men, just two, because the Spirit of the Most High was upon them. So when you look at scriptures that deal with Joel chapter 2, I'll go there. Y'all just allow me to flow with y'all because he's just giving stuff as it's coming. It's not anything I've necessarily prepared for. So when you look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, and it shall come to pass afterward when you go up and look at verse 26 and 27, all those verses, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, when you see all flesh, you don't think everybody. That's European doctrine when you start thinking everybody. You have to understand who is Joel referring to. So you have to understand when he's talking all flesh, you go up to verse 27, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of who? Israel, all flesh. Okay? Verse 27, ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am Jehovah your Yah, Yah your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass after what? After ye know, Israel, who is your God. After ye know who is your Yah. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will form my spirit. When you look at the spirit, it ain't talking about something that's going to fly out of the ceiling and down the wall and ooze everywhere. You can look at it and all that stuff. He's talking about your mind. Why am I saying that fire is going to be called down from heaven in the future? Because my mind is adjusting to the kingdom. And when your mind adjusts to the kingdom, you operate according to the way that the kingdom gives you the ability to operate. So Elijah was kingdom-minded. He could call down fire from heaven. James and John was kingdom-minded. They could call down fire from heaven. Guess what? All those who become kingdom-minded can operate within the laws of the kingdom. Okay? Now, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit, ruach. Ruach, the spirit, the mind. I will pour out my spirit. I will deal with your mind. I will pour out my spirit. I will give you my thinking. I will cause your mind to line up with me. That's why when you look at the scripture, it says that our Savior had the spirit. The spirit is not talking about, again, just something that descended down upon him. That's something to give us a mental picture that it comes from the Most High. He had a mental disposition that was not limited. He wasn't limited. That's why I have no fear. I'm not limited. I don't care. You can send an army after me. Watch what happens. They sent an army after Elijah. And the servant was concerned. And Elijah standing up there all chilling. I'm just paraphrasing the way that I see it from the perspective of how it was written. Elijah was chilling. Although I believe it was Elijah or Elisha. I can't remember which one exactly. I can go back there and read it, but I don't want to do that because for the sake of the time, but I can if you just need me to. Elijah was... Oh, I got to slow down. Oh, man. Okay. Go to 2 Chronicles. Let me see. Is this it? Let me wait a minute. It was Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. Now I'm trying to get us ready for what's going to happen. We have nothing to concern about what this system is going to send after us. I have no concern whatsoever. None. Now, trying to see just where I want to start. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll start at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 8. It says, Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of Yah sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to his place, which the man of Yah told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, the prophet is not anywhere near the king of Syria, but he's telling the king of Israel what the king of Syria is planning. And it is so concrete or so detailed that the king of Syria is meeting with his men, saying, okay, which one of y'all betraying me and which one of y'all with Israel? This is what we got to get back to. So it's a state of mind. Now, verse 10, 10 said, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of Yah told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. Have more than once. Have more than twice. Therefore, the heart of the king, the mind, the mental disposition of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He making plans, and every time he make a plan, the king of Israel is far of his plan, because the prophet is telling him, the king of Israel, what's going down. Now, in the verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, None, my lord, none of us are for Israel, O king. But Elijah, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou spakest in thy bedchamber. Yah is so detailed and know all things that he will tell us what they're doing before they can come do it. Fine word in these last days. That's why I've been dealing with us as a ministry, getting our minds ready and on the same page with Yah. We cannot survive in these last days by having our own consciousness, our own mental disposition. That's why I told you earlier the thoughts and the desires that these men happening, you know, whether it's Black Lives Matter, or whether it's All Lives Matter, or whether it's, you know, We Shall Overcome something. All these different things are thoughts of men. They're not going to work. We're going to get on the same page with Yah. So as you look at this, again, verse 12 says, and one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the word that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. This king of Syria said, go find out where he is, we're going to get him. So I'm not scared, because when they come, y'all going to let me know. Come on. Come get me. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. They tell the king of Syria that the prophet Elijah is in Dothan. Therefore sent he to the horses and chariots and a great host and army. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of Yah was risen early, he gone forth, behold, and hosts compassed the city both with horses and chariots. This is your greatest weaponry to go after the man of Yah. This is your modern day warfare weaponry during that time frame. They didn't just send anything. They sent your top people and your top guns, all your chariots, everything, tanks. Today, I'm just trying to bring you up to the day. Everything that they would use to come get a criminal or someone that they consider a threat, that's what they sent out to Elijah. All right? Now, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of Yah was risen early and gone forth, behold, and host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, said unto Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? And he, Elisha, said, fear not. Fear not, for they be with us are more than they be with them. Now, we have in verse 14 a great host with horses and chariots. All of your highest weaponry. All a great host going after one man. What that man said? Don't worry about it. Don't fear. I ain't scared. That's why I say it. That's why I say both. Whenever they call in and try to be in this conference call, I welcome them in. I'm not scared. Somebody from the government called me today. I'm not scared. They're calling me because they're afraid of me. Now, as we look at it here, he says in verse 16, he answers, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes, open my servant's eyes that he may see. And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You think they going to come after y'all men of God in these last days? And y'all not going to send his host of angels to back us up? You just waiting on somebody with a mind still enough to be ready for it. Elisha says to his servants, don't worry about it, don't fear. There are more with us than is against us. Yah opens the man's eyes up and the man sees the chariots of fire. What are chariots of fire? There are the angelic hosts that will do warfare with the nation of Israel in the last day. I ain't scared of nothing. But I'm not going to go be a part of the foolishness that our Israelite brothers are trying to do to save themselves. That's why I keep encouraging you, as long as you stay within your lane, which is under the umbrella, up under the wing, the protection of the Most High, you are invincible. They can send armies after you, and Yah will have more with us than it is with them. Not to talk about things. Verse 17, Elijah prayed and said, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And Jehovah opened the eyes of the man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto Yah and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way thither is this city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. And he led them to Samaria. This army comes after them, they can't see none. He lead them into Samaria. And verse 20, and it came to pass when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Jehovah, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And Jehovah opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, Samaria is in the land of Israel. Elijah asked Yah to smote them blind, then led them down into Israel. Into the land of Israel. Samaria, it's the land of Israel. They came, Elijah was in Dothan. Elisha led them from Dothan into Samaria, and when their eyes were open and they could see, they was amongst the nation of Israel. This is what Yah is doing in these last days. Alright? Now, verse 20, and it came to pass when they were come to Samaria that Elisha said, Jehovah, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And Jehovah opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. What if thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with our bow? Question. Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drank, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the band of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Come out to me. I bet you won't do it no more, sister. We have to understand who we are as a nation. We have lost our identity, and because we have lost our identity, we have lost the power that goes with who we are as a people. Y'all raising us in prophets to get us back on the same page as y'all. And so the more you hear these people that bring about these different type of protests, these different type of Black Lives Matter meetings, these different type of All Lives Matter meetings, they are leading our people to the slaughter, and it's going to get worse and worse every time they do it. But they're going to start leaving folks alone whenever the true prophets start going forth, being led by Yah to speak to these sisters. That's what Yah is doing in these last days. Okay? All this stuff is real. So we see Elisha did it in the Old Testament. We see in Luke chapter 9 that John and James did the same thing. Y'all, this is not some makeup stuff. We're not Luke chapter 9, verse 54. This is not makeup stuff. So when I tell you that he tapped me on the shoulder, trust me, he tapped me on the shoulder. This is no makeup stuff. All right? Now, the reason why we are going through these things right now is for the first reason of why I mentioned from a perspective of me being angry. I came into three understandings of why we were and still are in the situation that we're in. We as a people got to acknowledge our sin. And that's something that we don't want to do. We don't want to acknowledge our sin. We want to blame everybody else for what's going on with us. First thing I did was get angry at my people and took responsibility myself. When I realized that it was the sins of our people, then it put me in a position where I went to Yah and I repented for the nation of our nation of people. First thing I did, I realized that salvation was not just a me thing. So I stopped praying, Yah, get me right. I started saying, Yah, get our nation right. Deal with all of us as a people. But I started to understand that the only way true salvation could manifest, not because I was doing okay. But our nation has to do okay. So we have to realize that these things are happening to us because it is something that we have done as a nation of people. Go to Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39. We're going to look at verse 21. You can read Ezekiel 39 on your own time. We're just going to start at verse 21. Now, he says in verse 21, and I will set my glory among the heathen. When you look at heathen, that always deal with someone who is basically a Gentile. So heathen and Gentile means the same thing. So when he said, I will set my glory among the Gentile, he's saying from a from a perspective of applying it. He said, okay, I'm going to get my glory. I'm going to send my glory among the Gentiles. And all the Gentiles shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. All Gentile nations are going to be dealt with from what they have done to the nation of Israel. Yeah, we're responsible for some things that happened to us, or we are the root cause of the things that happened to us as a people, but y'all not going to let the people get away who have been used as a tool to do it. Verse 22 says, so the house of Israel shall know. Y'all is setting this thing up so that we may know something. So anything that we do on our own, it's not going to work. It's fail-proof. It will fail. In other words, it is proof that it's going to fail based upon this passage. When we look at this passage, we should come to the understanding that anything we do apart from him will fail. I don't care if some preacher come up with the idea. I don't care who come up with the idea to gather us together to come up with a solution. I ain't going. I'm not going unless y'all send me to go, because when he send me to go, I am going with only one solution in mind. Y'all can't tell us nothing. We got to turn to y'all. And if you're not meeting here with me today to talk about turning to y'all, you're wasting my time. So Yah makes it clear in his word. So, verse 22, the house of Israel shall know. The house of Israel shall know. What do you mean? What does it mean by know? The house of Israel shall understand that I am Jehovah their Yah from that day and forward. And the heathen shall understand that the house of Israel went into captivity for who? Their iniquity. What is iniquity? What is iniquity? It means their fault, their evil, their punishment, their sin. So we're not down on the street because they just hate us. There is a root cause behind the hate, and the hate is there because of something that we are doing as a people. We think that because we go to church on Sunday that we're not sinning. And Yah clearly pointed out to in our law that we should honor the Sabbath. And then we said, we're not sinning. We go to church. We love God. We love Jesus with the blonde hair and the blue eyes. We love the cross. We wear them all the time. Yeah, we do wear the owls all the time. We do commit adultery all the time. We do stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag. That's a God. How do I know it's a God? Because the Europeans get upset when we don't bow down and worship their God. It's a God. It's idolatry. That's what it is. I ain't pledging my allegiance to nothing but the Most High. Verse 22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am Jehovah, their Yah, from that day and forward. And the heathen, the Gentiles, shall know, they shall understand that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, for their evil, for their wrong. How will we classify this sin? How will we classify this evil? How will we classify this operating iniquity? Look at the colon. The colon is the answer to the question. Because they trespass against me. How did they do it? We broke the laws of the Most High. Because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid. When you look at the word hid, he concealed. He made himself secret. So you got people thinking that they know Yah, don't even have a clue. You got preachers who preaching this and don't know what they're preaching about. Because Yah said, I sealed myself to them. Why you think they sit their crosses up on their churches? Why do you think they do all these idolatrous things that the mystery of Babylon does, the doctrine that comes from Christianity through the Catholic Church, why do you think they do the things that they do? Because I am hidden from them. They don't know who the Savior is, neither do they know me. They preach me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away, far from me. Because they trespass against me, verse 23. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hands of their enemies. Yeah, I told people that we are in our enemy's land. Don't get it twisted. America is an enemy to the nation of Israel. No, they're not an enemy to the land of Israel, because they're friends with the Israelis. The Jews who have become Jews by religion, they're friends with them, but they are enemies to the nationality Israel. What is the enemy? Let's let the Bible identify and you be the judge. Anybody who distress a people, anybody who trouble a people, anybody who distress, trouble a people, anybody who is the adversary of a people is classified as an enemy. Yeah. Gentiles are our enemies. Now, you don't throw everybody in the same basket, but when you look at them as a nation of people, they are the enemy. Somebody said, well, how can you determine if they are an enemy? If you won't stand for me, then you are against me. You are my adversary. You are my friend. You stand for me. If you are an enemy, you will be silent. Every time it happens, you will always jump on the same page with the rest of your nation. There are some Gentile brothers who are standing up for our behalf, and they're speaking up for us as a nation of people, but the majority of them are our enemy. It is what it is. Y'all say, I'm going to give me some glory out of them. I'm going to get some glory out of you, Israel, and I'm going to get some glory out of those people, those Gentiles. Verse 23, and the heathen, the Gentile. That's why when you run across them so-called Jews and they call you Gali, they're called Goyim. When they call you Goyim or something like that, they're calling you Gentile. They're the Goyim. So anytime you hear somebody call you Goyim, that's a so-called Jew trying to call you a Gentile. That's what the word heathen means, going. Of going, okay? Then it says, and the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they by the sword. It happened back to us then. We can look at it today. Every time one of us hit the ground, for no reason whatsoever, we are in the hands of our enemy to be destroyed. Judgment still happens to other people. Why? Verse 24, according to their uncleanness. Uncleanness, anytime you deal with uncleanness, is from a relationship perspective with the Most High. You get some people that stay with from their religious impurities, but this is not a religion. This is a way of life for us as a people. But anytime we're classified as uncleanness, according to the scripture, we are filthiness. We are unclean because we do not follow the laws and statutes of our Most High that was given to us by Moses. Uncleanness in accordance to their transgression. Transgression is another perspective that means rebellion. So anytime they come up with another solution, I'm going to keep calling it out. Anytime you hear somebody talk about Black Lives Matter and trying to push that agenda, that is rebellion. Let me give you a nugget. Did you know that Black Lives Matter is funded? Billions are going into Black Lives Matter by Europeans? So if a European is pushing that agenda, it is because he desired to lead us into the slaughter. You have the enemy who are investing in something that we think is about us. Wake up, Israel. Oh, go do the homework. It is a European who is funding that. He put millions in Black Lives Matter. Why? Because of the agenda associated with it. And the agenda is not our lives matter because it's not getting no results. That's just another camouflage to put us out on display for the destruction to continue to happen. But yet, because of our rebellion, we seeing what the physical eyes but cannot perceive what's really going on through it. So we pushing Black Lives Matter and don't realize we're pushing our people into more destruction. So let me make it plain. Black Lives Matter is funded financially at the top level by a white man. Ain't that the truth? And trust me, it's not because he cares. So when you look at the word transgression, it means rebellion. So according to our filthiness, uncleanness, and our rebellion, have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Y'all said, yeah, you praying all the time, my people. I ain't hearing a word you saying because you praying about the wrong stuff. You want your new houses, you want your new car, you want all your money, you want all these different things here in this land of your enemy, and you're not going to see him. So if I give you all that right now, you're going to get comfortable and ease, and you're not going to want to go home. But I'm going to fix it the world. When this is all said and done, every last one of you are going to be biting the bit trying to get up out of here. Why do you think we're the tail instead of the head, like the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 28? We will always struggle as a people, as a whole. They will let a fruit token get up there, but those two fruit tokens, you can ask Oprah for that. Can't even go to another country and buy a purse, although that ain't nowhere touching scratching the surface. $50,000 is nowhere scratching the surface of her income. But yet, she's still classified. Because it don't matter. We can have all the money. We can live in the best neighborhood. And we still going to be hated because of our rebellion and transgression that we've done against our Most High Yah. Verse 25. Therefore, thus says Jehovah Yah, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, that's Israel, and have mercy upon the whole house. Did he say some? Crazy kooking them, all of them going to be offended. We still going to get dealt with once we're gathered. But he's not leaving none of us in these lands. He said the whole house of Israel, upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, disgrace, confusion. We haven't borne it yet. What does the word born mean? After we have put ourselves in position to contain it, after we deal with it, see we still good now. Y'all finna deal with us. He said, after they have borne their shame, confusion, dishonor. He said, I'm going to make you walk in this. I'm going to keep dishonoring you. I'm going to keep letting them kill you on the street. I'm going to keep letting them beat you and do you wrong and you give others the best. I'm going to keep letting you go through all this after you deal with your mess. And all your trespasses, all your falsehoods, all your treachery, whereby they have trespassed against me when they dwell safely in their land. See, when we was okay, we still acting fools. and none made them afraid. See, there was a time when none of us made us afraid, and we started rebelling when everything was good, and we hadn't changed nothing to this day. He says, when I have brought them again, it lets you know it's going to happen again. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemy's land. This is not my land. Iraq is not my land. It's not my home. It's not your home. You get some people that, you know, you get some people that when you look at historical data, they will say that the American Indians are Israelites. When you start running history and checking on things, and even certain things that's written in the written in books, and when you start checking historical data, it points out that your American Indians were Israelites, and they don't look the same as what they did. They don't look the same today as what they did when they first migrated over here. They were quite a bit darker. Well, when you look at it from that perspective, you get some that'll say, well, they were native to this land. No, the Indians were not native to this land. Where did the Indians come from? They weren't born here. Everybody migrated from Africa. So nobody's native to America. We settled here as the Indians. We settled here, and when Columbus eventually came over, then, you know, that's when they start killing the Indians off as a nation of people. But it points out that the same curses fell upon them as do the Negroes, but one of the same people. So this is not our land. We are in our enemy's land. Yeah, we own houses, we own cars, we own properties, we own things in this land, but this is not our land. Y'all point out who this land belongs to. It's the enemy's land. After they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely in their land and none made them afraid, that's how we were as a nation. Verse 27, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them, this is the rapture. I like this so-called rapture. But the Bible doesn't call it rapture. The Bible calls it the gather and gather them. It is called a gathering. You can see scripture. If you ever get a chance, just go do research on the word gathered. You see that he's constantly talking about gathering of Israel. Gathering Israel. You get over the New Testament, they want to change it from a European perspective and say that means he's coming back for all the Christians. Because everybody want to be up. Because even the church hate us. Oh, like that's true. So that preacher didn't just say, church hate us. Yeah, the church hate us because they won't tell the truth about who we are. They know. Christians reject this truth, although they see it in the Bible. Now, he says, verse 27, I'm going to let you go. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemy's land, and I'm sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. When we proclaim him in the sight of many nations, verse 28, then shall they know that I am Yah, that I am Jehovah their God, their Yah, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. We still don't get it. We still think the Europeans did it. We want to blame the Arabs. We want to blame the Europeans. We want to blame the Jews. We want to blame everybody. And y'all say, I did it. I sent you into slavery. Ain't no nation strong enough to take my people into captivity. I sent you into slavery. They were just the tools to do it. But when you tell these stiff-necked Israelites that, they don't want to hear that because they want to blame it on the white man. Yah is the one who put us in captivity. Yah is the one who allowing us to die on a daily basis. Back then, even on the day, Yah is the source by which these things are going about. Now, you know how Christians teach it. Yah is this good God who always do wonderful things for his people. Not according to this scripture. Captivity ain't a wonderful thing from my perspective. Now, you may find other people who like slavery, but I don't like it. So it's not a good thing. And I'm quite sure if all of you be honest, you admit, no, there wasn't nothing good about that. Well, he said he the one did it. So that means I can't blame a Jew. I can't blame the ship owner. I can't blame the descendants of Ham, the Africans, who helped capture us and sold us to the European. I can't blame the Arab. I can't blame all of these nations who participated with the slave trade. I have to look up and say, my Father, you put me in it. You're the only one that can bring us out of it. When my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and admit that. Seek my faith. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear. We ain't going to do it as a whole. That's why he's going to allow all of us and all. He's going to allow all of us to continue to go through this trouble, Jacob's trouble, until the remnant of Israel, the remainder, is brought up out of this thing and survive, you know, and be in survival mode until our Savior comes to get us out of these lands. Not take us to heaven, but to take us home to the promised land. That's our heaven. That's our salvation. We don't experience salvation any other way. Maybe, Pastor, when you die, don't you go to heaven? Paul does say to be after in the body to be present with you. But he also said that when he returns, that the saints will come back with it. So they're coming back to the land too. Let's read. Verse 28. Then shall they know that I, Jehovah, their Yah, which caused them to be led. When you look at what caused them to be led into captivity, exile among the heathen, the Gentiles, but I have gathered them unto their own land. Well, wait a minute, we going to hell. Now, we going to hell. Christians going to interpret that as heaven. Y'all, he going to gather us back in our land. That's heaven. That's heaven. Nope. Our land. Our own land. And have left how many? None of them there anymore. Crazy Pookie coming out. As well as, you know, the one that's so heavily bound to the point that no earthly good. All Israel is coming out of the land of their enemy. Those that don't do nothing and those that get in everything. When that remnant is established and when Christ comes back, all Israel is coming out. You can go look at other scriptures and you can see we're going to constantly be driven to him. So I don't know how the state of all Israel would be once he returns, but I will tell you that all Israel is coming out just like the scripture says. None of us will be left here. We will not get to make the choice. Go back and look at the scripture as I get ready to close. Show me one Israelite who said, I don't want to go with y'all when they left Egypt. All Israel came out. All Israel will come out of the lands of our enemies. From the four corners of the wind, from every nation that we are in, we will come out as a nation and go back to our own land. That is the so-called rapture. That's what Christians don't want to tell you. They've been trying to replace us for generations and generations. But we have awakened as a people, and it is what it is. All right? So as I get ready to close here, y'all, remember, do not get caught up into the hype of our people. Do not let them stir you up with anger. Just tell the truth. I had people that were telling me, they said, we waiting on you to post something on Facebook. We waiting on you to post. Yeah, I'm going to post exactly what y'all have me to post, and I'm going to be in line with what he's saying because, you know, I got to get you ready. And I'm not going to play with your emotions. Don't let these people get you emotionally caught up into all this stuff. I know what the problem is. We know what the problem is. We know what the problem is. And we got to stay focused and make sure that we keep our children safe, that we stay safe, and at the same time, we don't have to be concerned. I'm not concerned when I'm driving down the road at night by myself. I'm not concerned if I get pulled over by the police. I'm not concerned. Not concerned at all. It's so more with me than with him. Have no fear whatsoever. Anybody that'll tell you that when I see a police officer, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to mess with them. Anybody who ever hung out with me will tell you, I will go up to a police officer in a minute and be like, what y'all doing? Y'all staying out of trouble? We're not to fear in these last days. And so we got to get ready. We got to stay focused. And remember, y'all hear me as I close. Things are going to get worse. Do you know this system want a war? That's why they keep showing it. They keep showing it over and over. They don't show you other stuff that's going on. They want the Israelites to get rowdy. They want to corral up, I'm telling you. They want to round us up. They want us to act the fool. They want to use us. That's why they keep doing it. That's why they keep showing it. Yo, don't you think it's strange that the last man, who the man who got shot in Tulsa, don't you think it's strange that the helicopter was conveniently there? Everything just was conveniently recorded? Yo, you have to understand how wicked this system is. And before it all goes down, the man just have to say, yeah, he way up there in the air. Yeah, that looked like a violent one right there, someone that ought. Yeah, he looks like who does that? And you know you're being recorded. He knows he's being recorded. Y'all don't get it twisted. Don't fall for the hype. It's all a game. I'll tell you what I would do as I get ready to close. I'm trying to close, but God just won't let me. If I was a system who wanted you to fall in line with me and I was wicked, I would be willing to sacrifice some of you just to get the rest of you. I create a 9/11 because some of you is small in comparison to the nation of you. I would create a circumstance that caused a levee in New Orleans to break because my agenda is bigger than what's going on and for the few. So I sacrifice the few to bring about my agenda. See, people, it's always bigger than what you see. My brother-in-law would tell you that they could have walked out of New Orleans. He said, but there were snipers on the freeway shooting them back into the city. Come on, y'all. How many days our people were stuck in New Orleans? He said, they could have walked out. He said, the freeway was right there. We could have walked out. He said, police officers were standing there with their guns shooting us back into the city. Y'all better wake up. That was probably one of the biggest harvesting of organs during that time frame. People coming up dead because all they're doing is harvesting organs and selling it on the black market. You'd be surprised how many of our people were murdered from a perspective of their organs. Going there, your toe hurt. Before you know it, you come out of there dead. But before they send you to the morgue, they're going to cut you up inside and out and take everything that belongs to you on the inside and go sell it to some blowjo who need it. That's why I don't ever sign on your license that you want to be an organ donor. You just put yourself on the list that when somebody needs yours, they're coming after you. The lady police officer said this, and I thought it was unique. She said, one of the things that I realized in being on the scene in some of these drive-by shootings, she said, when our people do this kind of stuff, you see these shootings and stuff like that, she said they shoot up everything. She said, but when you see these shootings that come through and people are hitting people in specific spots and stuff like that, she said, that is a professional. Because they're trying to keep from damaging vital organs because they sell it. Y'all, they're killing us in all kinds of ways. For all kinds of reasons. And we got to wake up. Y'all didn't know that this. You didn't know people were being shot back in the New Orleans. That's why people wouldn't leave it. Why do you think those people just sitting there at that dome? My brother-in-law is a witness. He's sitting right here right now. He said, brother-in-law, they had police officers at the bridge on the freeway with guns. Every time somebody tried to walk up that highway, they'd shoot at them. Why would you try to keep a people in there? We don't have a clue what's really going on. That's just a general statement, but we know. All right, any questions, comments? I'm good. You good? I just shocked y'all mind tonight, too. Full of information. Okay. Any questions or comments? All right. We sure? We good? Father, y'all, we bless your name on today. We thank you for another facet of understanding. We seek you continually. We need you to lead and guide us in all truth. We thank you for the spirit that your spirit that has come upon us that has caused us not to walk in fear. And we put our trust in you that you are well able to protect us in these days that we're in. That you will manifest your angels, your chariots of fire to surround us, your heavenly host to surround us to keep us from all danger. We're not afraid of anything that man can do to us. We're afraid of the Most High who are able to destroy both body and spirit. We put our trust in you. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.
All right.
Y'all, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Give this morning.